Why don't you turn to Ephesians 2? Thank you, Lord. Y'all at Ephesians 2? Just before we read in there, I think you all probably know this verse, Psalm 91:1. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everyone knows it. I don't need to turn there. That word secret is the Hebrew word sather, and it means private, protection, hiding place, covering. So he who dwells in the private, protected, hiding place, covering of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Brother Gary, at conference, he was teaching that Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant, and now that we are in him, we are in the Ark. Okay? But we need to know that we are in him. And so we're going to just read just one passage in Ephesians. Again, I encourage you to read it and just look at every time it says in him or something that has to do with you. It's full of it. But we're just going to read one section in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So we are in Christ Jesus. So Psalm 91:1, you know, Gary was teaching and he's still teaching. And I encourage you to listen to as many of these guys that were at the conference as possible regularly. So listen to Gary, listen to Bronk, listen to Alan, listen up when you miss Pastor Jim, listen to him and so on and so forth. Because you're just going to get a lot more of the things that God is revealing to them. And so Gary wasn't just saying that. We actually are in him, and I think you know that, but just reading that. So go home and read Ephesians tonight before bed. No, I'm just kidding. Just read Ephesians sometime soon, okay, because we are in him. This is basically saying that the Father supernaturally quickened us or gave us life, that's the new birth, and then placed us in Christ. So in Christ is where we are, right? It's positionally. But it is also where God wants us to dwell because of what we read in Psalm 91:1, he who dwelleth, okay? So according to Psalm 91:1, God wants us to dwell with him, dwell in that secret place. And I'm going to get more into that as we go, but the word dwelleth here in Psalm 91:1, this is what it means. It means to sit down in quiet, to remain, to settle, to marry, I thought that was interesting, to continue, to tarry, to abide, okay? So we are in Christ, but there's a vast difference between a positional truth and this definition of dwelling, tarrying, sitting with, remaining with God for the sole purpose of just being with him. So tonight what I want to do is just talk about what it means to dwell with him. I think as Christians we go through life and we read the word and we kind of know who we are. But there's a difference between, it's like almost this oblivion that happens. And there's this disconnect between the living God, even though you have him in you, where you don't recognize that he is a part of your everyday moment, breath, life, everything that we do. Turn to John 14. This is going to be familiar to you, all these scriptures. I think everyone has this stuff memorized. John 14, and we're going to read verses 21 through 23. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest or reveal myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." So when I looked up that word, and again, I mean, we've known these, probably you guys know too, known these definitions for a while, but just it's good to refresh what these words mean. Abode here means to stay and reside, and comes from a word that means to stay in a given place or state, to continue, to be present, endure, tarry, and remain. Doesn't that sound like the word dwelleth? Doesn't that sound like the same definition? Dwelleth and abide. So this is a New Testament witness that we are to abide or dwell with him as well. What this tells us, this verse, is that God wants to make his abode with us, and he wants us to want him to be with us. See, some of it, the time, again, we just, and like I'm in here too, sometimes it's just like, God, I just don't feel like it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm in a battle. I'm like really on the other end of it. So thank you, Jesus. I've been in a battle with my flesh. And there were days when I just wanted to like curl up in the fetal position. And I couldn't do it because I knew that's not where the victory lied. I had nothing in me that wanted to read the word or worship or have confession. Like I put on, Kenneth Hagin has like healing scriptures. And I was just putting that on, listening. Nothing in me wanted to do it, but I knew that was my medicine. Okay? And I knew I needed to do it. And so I did. But in the battle and in the throes of it, God, it's like God is there with you. He's right in the trenches. And I love that about God. He's just right there. He never leaves. But that's not the times I'm really talking about. Talking about just your regular old day. Do you want to be with him? Do you want him to make his abode with you, to come and sit? I love this because his promise says that if we love him, let's read that again, verse 23. It says, if a man love me, this is what he'll do. He will keep my words, and look at this, and my Father will love him. Do you know tonight that the Father loves you? If we say we love him, we will keep his words, and my Father will love him. He will love you. And look what he says. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So God comes. He's like, oh, my children. Oh, they like want this. They want to be with me. Okay, I'm going to come. And I'm going to sit and tarry and remain in their midst. That's what this verse is talking about. To be close to Jesus, we really do have to go beyond just the knowledge of him in terms of who we are in him, to a place of abiding and dwelling with him, just like these words were defining. And this is not anything new. In fact, Jesus did it. Do you think Jesus knew who he was? He did. Jesus knew who he was. Even at the age of 12, what did he say to his parents? How did you not know that it must be about my Father's business? He knew who he was. And yet Jesus regularly, we can read in the Gospels, went away to be what? Alone with the God, with the Lord. What was he doing? He was abiding with him. He was dwelling with him. He knew who he was, but he still had to go and get that dwell time. Even after a busy day, Jesus was like that. Go ahead to turn to Mark 6. We're not going to read very much of this. I just want to kind of give you a recap of what's happening here. Okay, so in Mark 6, Jesus, he first starts ministering in Nazareth, and then he sends out his disciples to minister. So they're out there ministering. During this time, Jesus finds out about the death of John the Baptist. And then his disciples come back at some point, and they're excitedly telling Jesus, like, everything that they did, everything that they taught. Okay, they're excited about Jesus. And you know what Jesus' response to them was? Okay, let's come aside to rest. So there is a place where there's a resting and a tarrying where we must do it. We must get into the face of the Lord. We must get into the face of the Father if we're going to be of any benefit, to continue to be of any benefit to people. But then what happens is they get into the ship and they go over, and the people knew where he was going, so they beat him there. And they're like, oh, Jesus is going to be there. So they run. And then Jesus gets out of the boat and he's filled with compassion and he begins to minister to them. So firstly, he just heard about John the Baptist's death. This may not have been the same day, but he's thinking about this because, you know, he knows that when the forerunner to Christ dies, he's up next. So this is playing on him. Then his disciples come back and they start talking about everything that they've done. And he wants to hear them. And it's time to rest. It's time to go. But the people come. So he's having a pretty busy day, isn't he? Because right after that, he starts ministering to them. And then he feeds them. This is the story where he feeds the 5,000. Then this is what happens in verse 45. Okay, after they take up the fragments of the fishes and the loaves, he says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And look what he did. When he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So, I mean, this is just one example that even on a busy day, Jesus went and he dwelt with the Father. He knew who he was. And as Gary said, he is the ark. He still went and dwelt with the Father. He went and spent time with the Father. One-on-one time. And this is how we should live our lives too. But to live like this, it actually takes ordering your life around him. It's not happenstance. Anyone who thinks that your walk just happens or just is going to happen to you, it's not. I'm here to tell you it's not. You have to actively take your walk by force. You have to plan it in. You know that even when I'm like ministering or preparing a word or God speaking to me, you know, if he just interrupts me, I write down what he says. That's not what I'm talking about. But I also just have a thing like, I'm going to read this today, period. And I'm going to read this today, period, in terms of the word. And I'm going to do these confessions, period. And I do that regardless of what I need to prepare or preach or teach the kids or whatever, because I keep myself on a leash to say, in a way, to say, I'm not going to let my flesh get out of hand, because my flesh always wants what's not God. Right? So putting the word into you, you got to keep putting the word into you, you got to keep putting the word into you. You got to order your life around him and not the other way around, like sort of squeeze him in when you have time. It won't happen. And that it also means we have to give him complete control. And I was thinking about this recently. Who knows the song, Set a Fire? You know all know this? No place I'd rather be. We sing it here. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Now what's the next line? Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. Do you want that? Seriously, some people will say yes and they mean it. Some people say yes and they have no idea what they mean. And some people know I am not there yet. Because if what does it mean to be out of control? What is an out of control fire? You need something to staunch it. You need something to stop it. When you sing to God, set a fire in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control, you want to be out of control? Oh my goodness. Like, I don't care about that stuff. As long as it's God, I don't care. I really don't. Long time ago, I started seeing weird stuff in church, and I was just like asking God about it, and he's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on me. That's it. I want to tell you something. Just by something being weird doesn't mean it's not God. I mean, spitting on the ground, putting mud on somebody's eyes to heal them is weird. Weird to us. We only think it's not weird because it's in the Word of God. Weirdness is not your judgment factor. You don't go, well, that's weird. I you know, that can't be God. No. Weirdness is not how you judge if it's God. If it lines up to the Bible and biblical principles, you know it's God. A good example of something that's not God is putting your hand into a snake pit to see if you're a sinner. I've never heard of such crazy things in my life until I moved to America. Because sometimes Pastor Jim stands up here and he tells stories. I'm like, no, seriously. Somebody really did this? So there's a church that believes that they have a snake pit up at the front, and you come up and you put your hand in there, and if you get bitten, it means you have sin in your life. And if you don't get bitten, it means you're holy. Okay, the Bible says do not tempt God. In fact, Jesus said that to Satan when Satan was tempting him. I'm like, it's crazy, right? But just because something is weird, even though I think that's crazy, do you know if it was in the Bible, it would be okay? If God instructed it, it would be okay. Weirdness is not the measuring stick. That's the point. Okay, so when you say, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control, what if you are in worship one day here and your feet just start moving? And you're like, and you just want to dance. And you're just like, I gotta get up, gotta get out of the pews, and I just gotta dance. God, I don't want to contain it, I don't want to control it, but I'm going to control this because I don't want to dance. That's just a simple, easy one. What about other things? Oh God, I love you so much. Because in the presence of God, it will give him anything. And then we come out of the presence of God and we say, wait, I'm going to control this a little bit. Here's the thing. You have to relinquish more of you to be burned if you want him to completely have control. You have to relinquish more of you to be burned. I'm not saying you got, I think it's really strange. You were telling us that you saw a pastor run on the top of the pews one time. Again, never seen anything crazy like that. I don't know how he did that without falling. I've actually seen in some circles people get really hurt, and then I think God's not going to hurt people. So, you have to just really be discerning. I'm not telling you free for all. What I'm saying is, let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you, and don't mark things by being weird. And if you're going to sing a song to him where you want his fire to burn up and you're giving him complete control that that I can't contain and I can't control, mean those words. Truly mean them and let him be the one that leads you. Dwelling in the secret place is when you set your attention on God and keep it set for the purpose of fellowship with him. I'm just going to go back a little bit. I want to talk about control just a little bit more. Because I think that if you are going to lose control on something, you have to be confident that it's him telling you to do something. Like when Smith Wigglesworth kicked the baby off the stage and it came back to life, and you're like, you have to be confident. But that kind of confidence doesn't come from just knowing your positional truth that you're in him. It comes from times of intimacy with him where he reveals these truths to you on a spirit level that goes beyond your mental understanding. And so dwelling in the secret place is when you set your attention on God and keep it set. Okay, so we want fellowship with God. We want to dwell with him. We want to abide with him. And here's the thing. The Bible promises that when we kind of set ourselves to be with him, then he makes his home and his abode with us as well. And so I want to say something here. You know that all day long you can pray in the Spirit, right? You can talk to God like he's right with you. And you should do that. In fact, Becky was telling us the other day that one of her friend's parents goes around like me, and I always say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, I love you, Jesus, just randomly throughout the day. And she was saying that her friend was saying that their parents do that too, which is cool. And I guess that means that, I don't know, we're like out there. I don't know, maybe. But because you can talk to God at any time. And throughout the day, you should be speaking in tongues, and you should be talking to the Lord and worshiping and having the word playing. But dwelling with God, and what the focus tonight, is not doing that, and you should be doing this. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to be doing that. But dwelling and abiding is when you actually take time apart from all that. Because you can be praying in tongues while you're watching TV. But you're actually stopping all of the outward noise, and you're actually taking time and you're saying, this time is just for you, Lord. And when I was thinking about this, the Lord gave me an illustration. And it was, think about a special date night, okay? It's your anniversary, let's say. So I'm not talking about like you're on your way home, you're like, oh, I don't feel like making supper. Let's get some Chick-fil-A. No, not that. I say Chick-fil-A because it's the best. I love Chick-fil-A. But it's not that. It's like when you have an anniversary, a special occasion coming up, what do? You just throw on your dirty pants that are on the floor, and you don't brush your hair, you brush your teeth. And is that what you do? Or what do? You're like, oh, this is a special, like, so you purposefully don't eat too much before you go out because you know you're going to get that 12-ounce whatever steak or whatever. You're going to get dressed in nicer clothes. You're going to make sure that your hair is brushed and your teeth are brushed and, that you're ready. You're ready to go on this special date. What if it's a special occasion like a wedding or an anniversary party or something like that? Are you going to show up all disheveled? That's not what we do. Okay? And it's the same with God. God was showing me that we need to start preparing ourselves like it's a date with him, like it's a special occasion just to be with him. And, it's not wrong to have those days where you're like, Jesus, I'm talking to you as I'm going through Chick-fil-A. That's good. We need to do that. But dwelling and abiding with him is different than just the fast food. It's actually setting yourself apart, saying, Lord, this is a special time between me and you. Too often we want a 5-star spiritual life with only McDonald's effort, and it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. So what does dwelling in the secret place do for us? Obviously, there's way more than what I could talk about tonight, but I felt the Lord show me 4 things that the dwelling in the secret place does for us. First and foremost, it builds in us an unshakable inner knowledge that God is real and he is who he says he is. And you know that from a young age, no one could shake me from the realness of God, only because I stumbled upon the secret, like dwelling with him. I stumbled upon dwelling with him, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's no way anyone could shake that. Parents, one of the reasons that you have to actually say the sinner's prayer with your kids in terms of teach them about Jesus, this is just a side note. The reason why you need to teach your kids about Jesus, have them get born again and get them filled with the Spirit and praying in tongues young, is so that everything that they're taught now can be revealed to their spirit and then go from their spirit to their mind. If you don't actually lead your kids in the sinner's prayer, or some sort of, it doesn't have to be the sinner's prayer, but you know, to faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't actually get them filled with the Holy Ghost where they're speaking in tongues, then the things that you say to them is, guess what, just going to be to their natural mind. And there's going to be less of an understanding than if you get them born again, spirit-filled, and then they can receive things on a spiritual level. That's what you want. You want your children to receive things on a spiritual level. And so when they do, so like from a very young age, because I was born again and filled with the Spirit, I was like able to connect with God in a way. And I'm like, no one could shake me from the truth that God is who he says he is and that he's real. And when you start dwelling with God and abiding with him, that revelation begins to bubble up and you just, it's like, you know, he is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. There's none but him. You know that. Second thing that happens, dwelling in a secret place develops in us the ability to know things that aren't known by the natural man. So we will know things through discernment and perception. How many times did Jesus in the gospel, it would say, and you're reading a lot of these verses this morning, but he knew what they were thinking before they even said it. He knew it. And it wasn't just for the Pharisees who were trying to trip him up. It was for his disciples too. You know, when they were bickering among themselves, or they're like, oh, should we ask him? I don't know if we should ask him. And he knew, he perceived, and the Bible actually uses that word in many instances. He perceived what they were going to say, and then he knew how to answer. Jesus always operated through the new man and only looked with spiritual eyes. John 5:19, I'm sure you all know this. What does it say? That he only did what he saw the Father do. But wait a second. The Father wasn't here. Father wasn't in the flesh. How could he see what the Father was doing? How could he see it? In the Spirit. He was looking with spiritual eyes. He was looking with his spiritual eyes. And then John 12, same thing. He only said what he heard the Father say, but the Father wasn't here in the flesh, so how could he hear him? He was hearing in the Spirit. We have to get to the place where we look with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and stop discerning things with our natural mental reasoning. And again, that was like 1 Corinthians 2:14. Do we need to go there? Let's just go there. Why not? Let's go there. Pastor Jim said several verses this morning. I was like, okay. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. When we get good at dwelling, we will also get better at perceiving things with our spirit, our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, okay, with our spiritual understanding. And actually, this takes pressure out of following him, because now we're following based on the wisdom that we got through spending time with him in that secret place and fellowship, and not our own reasoning. It is much better to live your life through spiritual, godly discernment and perception over mental reasoning. I'm going to say that again. It's much better to live your life through spiritual, godly discernment and perception over mental reasoning. And we need this in the world now more than ever. Everything you see online is a lie. Seriously, mostly. Most things. They take clips of this, clip of that. They put it together. You have to be so discerning. How are you going to know if you don't develop that? that comes through dwelling with God and building and growing that part of you that hears from Him, that uses your spiritual eyes and your spiritual understanding and your spiritual ears. In fact, we're coming into a time where the darkness is going to increase so much that if you don't know how to perceive and discern with your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears, you're in trouble. You're going to need to know. And kids, I want to tell you, you can live in an exciting time. I'm sure you always hear like, oh, the darkness is increasing. When I was young, like very young, like in the 80s, early 80s, everyone talked about all they could, everywhere I went in every church, they would argue about the end times. And it's like the book of Revelation was the thing everyone talked about and argued about. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, like I want to live my life a little bit, Jesus. Now that's just immature, because once you get to know Him, you just want to do whatever He says. But I want to tell you something. With darkness comes great light and great amazing things too. So things that people, all these older people wanted to see, they're not seeing, but you're going to get to see, because even though the darkness is increasing, so is the light. So don't let that discourage you that there's a lot of darkness. Actually, get excited, because it means you're going to see God do some pretty awesome things, okay? So that's just a little encouragement for you kids. And to start now, to start discerning now, start spending time with Him now, start dwelling with Him and abiding with Him now, because you're going to need to know what's happening in the world. There's going to be things that look so real, and even with AI, I mean, that's kind of a scary thing. For both Biden and Trump, they did speeches that neither of them said. You have to, how are you going to know? How are you going to know what to believe? The Spirit of God who dwells in you, He will show you and He will teach you. But you need to develop that place where you are dwelling with Him, able to hear Him clearly. Third thing, dwelling in the secret place is where you hear the secrets of the Lord, the hidden mysteries that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. Again, remember this morning, Luke 8 and 10, we read that Jesus said that the mysteries were for those of the kingdom, okay? And Pastor Jim taught that the greatest way to know the mysteries is by praying in the Spirit, okay? You're going to know the hidden mysteries by praying in the Spirit, okay? But dwelling with God allows those mysteries that you've been praying, so you're praying them, but it's not a natural understanding yet. It allows those mysteries to rise up, and suddenly, like, you have all these aha moments, okay? And I remember Pastor Dave used to say things like, it was like nerd girl and nerd boy. They get saved and they get filled, and they're still nerds, but now they're saved and filled. Meaning God doesn't just override your personality and who you are and everything about you, okay? He actually uses you and shows you things that you need for you in a way that makes you understand. Okay, in the same way, when you're praying in the Spirit, God just doesn't like make you stop and sit down and just focus on Him. You have to do that. And as you do, all that stuff you've been praying just rises to your mind. And now you're like, oh, I know what to do here. I have the wisdom. I know what God's saying. Okay. So dwelling is that place where you stop and you let all the spiritual stuff that you've been doing, that you've been sowing, actually get revealed to your mind and your heart. You need to dwell. We need to dwell. We need to abide. Years ago, and this man is actually, he's with the Lord now. He was one of the ones that died during COVID. Anyways, he told me that one of the words for our English word secret is the Hebrew word sod, S-O-D. And that's not the same word secret that we found in Psalm 91:1. Just, this is very interesting. But this word sod, it means a secret as given by inspiration or revelation, a confidential discussion, a secret plan or counsel. And in fact, he said that in Israel, the word they currently use for their national intelligence agency comes from that word. They're called Mossad. And it stands for Central Institute for Intelligence and Special Operations. And these are highly trained, highly skilled elite soldiers who know things that the general public don't know. So Sod, okay, the secret, okay? For us, when we engage in dwelling or abiding with the Lord in that secret place, we have just positioned our hearts to hear whatever is on God's heart now, in the moment. Like hot off the press, God is speaking. And I think this is just such an amazing thing. And of course, like you said this again this morning, but you said, God is not trying to keep secrets from us. That's not what this means. It means that There are some things that can only be found with that close encounter, fellowship with God, where you are like in his presence and you're just sitting there and like he's revealing things to you and you're hearing him. And a lot of what happens, I think, is people just don't, they don't give time to just sit there and just listen and just wait on him and just dwell with him. Because God is speaking and he wants to speak. He's not trying to hold anything from you, but we have to slow down and learn how to dwell. And the final thing, dwelling in the secret place compels us to worship. There is a discipline that is needed in worship when you don't feel like it, or you feel dry, or like, I don't feel like singing, or any of those things. And that's a good thing. You discipline yourself anyways, and you push through because you know that he's worth it. He's worth your worship. But you know that when you dwell with him, you'll find that you can't help but worship him. It's not a chore anymore. You can't help it. Because you start, this is what happens. You sit there, and he just starts washing over you with his goodness. And you can't help but say, oh my gosh, Lord, I love you. And you just can't. You can't stop yourself. That's what being in this place, that's what dwelling with him does, is that he just begins to reveal himself and pour out his love upon you and show you who he is. And you're just, it's like your spirit man is so excited, but your mind almost can't handle it. And your emotions almost can't handle it. And you're just like, God, you are so good. You're so faithful. And it makes you want to praise him. And it makes you want to bow down. And it makes you want to get on your face. And it makes you want to shout. And it makes you want to do all these things. Being in that dwelling place, being with him, it compels you. It's like you can't even stop it. I mean, you could, because God doesn't control you, but you don't want to. And it just brings us back full circle to John 14, where it says that when we love him, when we do his word, the Father will love us and he will come and make his abode with us. This is what we want. We want God abiding with us. We want him to constantly, be with us. We want that fragrance of him to be able to be so full in us that everywhere we go, we just give him away. You know, when I'm in worship, this is what I do a lot now. It used to be very different. It used to be mostly just worship. And then when God taught me how to pray extended hours in tongues, I'd have to do just that. And that was hard initially to learn that. And now I kind of do this more of like, I'll start praying in tongues. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And I just go back and forth like that. So I go from worship to tongues to worship to tongues to worship to tongues. I don't really look at it, you know. I'm just praying and then I'm worshiping and I'm praying and I'm worshiping and then I'm waiting. Learning to dwell with God, dwell in that secret place, dwell with who he's made us to be is a must if we want to see revival. We've been talking about revival. We talk about it. Do you think God is just going to take over and be like, okay, regardless of you, regardless of your obedience, regardless of you welcoming me? He doesn't do that. You know, in Psalms it says, let this be the generation that seeks you. God, he comes where he's wanted. God comes where he's wanted. And we need to want him. We need to start dwelling with him. We need to start making dates with him at home. And then we need to, you know, even when we're not feeling like it, God, I love you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. And he will come. He will make his abode with us. But we got to do it. We can't just always talk about it. So we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray. And I encourage you to go back and forth. Try praying in the spirit. And every once in a while, just, I love you, Jesus. And then go back to tongues and then go back to worship and then go back to tongues. And for about 20 minutes, yeah, let's do 25, since the 25 minutes of a more prayer and worship session, dwelling with the Lord, amen? And then I'll come back. Thank you, Jesus. That was 25 minutes. That was so fast. So fast it felt like. We're going to do one more thing. Sean, can you turn off the music just for a sec, please? Why don't y'all stand with me? I just need your attention for one or two more minutes, okay? It felt like the Lord wanted us to do this, so I'm just going to be obedient. Okay. So we are placed in him, right? But dwelling with him is like being aware that you're in Him. You already know you are in Him. It's positioning your heart to or your spirit to connect with God spirit to spirit. And so right now, what we need to do is I want you to close your eyes so you don't have any distractions. Okay? Close your eyes so you don't have any distractions. And then what we're going to do is I just want you to become aware of your spirit man being seated with Christ. It's almost going to sound weird, but it's not. Trust me. Your spirit first. Okay? From that place, don't let anything distract you. No thoughts. No hunger. And just lift your hands to Him. And in that place, like He's sitting right there with you, just say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Whatever's on your heart, tell Him, I love you, God. I adore you, Jesus. Grateful that you're here with me, Father. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, God. Lord, how I love you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, God. Worship you, Lord. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I'm submitted to you. Lord, my heart is yours. Lord, my life is yours. Lord, whatever you say, Lord, that's what happens, Lord. I love you, God. I adore you. I worship you. There's no other place I'd rather be, Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I love you, God. I worship you and adore you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you cannot lie. Thank you, Lord. Your promises are yes and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I worship you and bless you and praise you. How I love you. How I love you. Jesus, we love you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you tonight, God. We love you and we worship you. Teach us, Lord. Draw us back to you over and over again. That we'd know you and have these times of fellowship with you. We'd set apart time and moments and hours just to be with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be full of you so that we can give you away. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Listen, anytime you want to, that's what you do. It's just quick and easy. You get into His presence and then you stay there. Amen.